EDC meeting of February 2023 to order. I'll call the roll. Member Lowe's. Member Preston. Member Brangle. Member Graham.
Present.
Member Wahlfeld. Member Chapunkar.
Here.
And Chairman Brown.
Present.
Is there any public comment? Move on to the approval of meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve the meeting of October 5th?
So moved.
Second.
Member Lowe's? We're just approving the minute.
Yes.
Member Brangle? Member Graham?
Yes.
Member Chapunkar?
Yes.
And Chairman Brown?
Yes.
Approved.
Number four, Chamber of Commerce update. I feel it's been a minute since we've met. Yeah. Anything that we should know about, that we should be doing, that we can be a part of?
Are we on? Oh.
There you go.
I'm not sure if you're aware, though, that the village approved an extension of the free six-month memberships for new business licenses this year. So every new business that gets a new business license with the village will receive a free six-month membership with the Chamber of Commerce. So I was hoping to work with somebody on staff. I don't know if that, I'm guessing it's not you anymore, Matt. Hopefully there's somebody else that,
are you wearing two hats?
Are you, a couple. Or five hats, five. Maybe? I think that the most important thing will be to do some sort of an introductory letter that needs to come from the village. And the reason for that is that some of the new business licenses who received the membership last year, They got the membership with their new business license, but they were like, "What is this? What's going on? Sure. Like, why are we doing this?" And so we had to explain the partnership, and in some instances, people just were very reluctant to believe us. You know, what are you selling? What do I have
totally.
To pay for? You know,
nothing
that kind
good
of thing,
is free.
Right? And so I'm only recommending this because this is exactly what happened with us with the Village of Oak Park last year. And for the first 2 months, we had a lot of problems exactly the same as sure. this. And that is literally a letter that goes out from the village. Congratulations on your new business license. We're so thrilled you're here. We prioritize the success of our small businesses. And by the way, we partnered with the Chamber. They're going to be reaching out to you shortly. This is not a joke. This is real. It's coming, right? And then when you send over the business information to us, we automatically sign them up, and then they receive a welcome to the chamber message in their inbox, and then nobody's surprised as to what it is.
Right.
So I've got one drafted out for you. I can send it over to you, and
that
then
would
you
be
guys
great.
Can, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then you guys can just start sending that out. And then what we need to do is just come up with some sort of regular process whereby at the end of January, at the end of the month, we receive the list of all of the new business licenses. So we don't want to get them all in after 6 months or something. We
right.
want people to know as soon as they get their license that we're here to support them. So even if that's just one comes over, and then we go through that process. And then, after the 6 months, they receive an invoice from the chamber to say, do you want to stay on? And then this is how much it costs. And some people do and some people don't.
In terms of the village, you said that we're supporting for six more months, supporting the 6 months. Like, what are we subsidizing for how much longer? Is that what you were saying?
No. So last year, and Matt, definitely correct me if I'm wrong, I think that the village tapped into the ARPA funds in order to support every business in the community. So even if you had an existing business license, if you wanted to come to the chamber for 6 months and try us out, then the village would support that. This year, it is only for new business licenses. And so it's a free 6 month membership with the chamber.
You know, I wonder what we have to do to just make that a permanent.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, I figured as much. Instead of having to, it seems pretty minimal of a cost, and it's a nice. First of all, you guys do such a great job. So any way that the village can help, that'd be one thing. And it just seems like kind of a no-brainer for the cost associated with it.
Yeah.
Instead of having to constantly.
I mean, because we can also go back to just historically and see, obviously, there's the COVID blip, but just see on average, how many new business licenses do you get per year and ameliorate it across a few years, and we can kind of get a pretty good feeling for your budget, right? But you're right. I mean, in your budget, it's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
And hey, if we have more than we expected, that's a good thing.
Correct.
You know, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
True.
Absolutely. Well, and it's a... It's got all the warm fuzzies that go along with it, right? So if anybody at the village is talking about, well, why should you open your business here in the village? This is one of the reasons, you know, the village administration supports the success of your small business. So do it here. Yeah, it's got all the warm fuzzies with it.
Yeah. How are things generally going from the chamber standpoint, you know, with the post, and we can include Oak Park here as well, obviously. I mean, I'm seeing new businesses opening in Oak Park.
Yep.
You know, it seems like things are starting to sort of thrive again. People have found a space in retail that happens to be working post-COVID. Are you seeing this in general sense of how things are going? Or I don't mean to – it's a lot. It's a loaded question, but just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I think our local economy is doing really well. I mean, vacancy rates are really, really down. You know, we're having in Oak Park, there's been some instances of people leaving to go and find a place elsewhere outside of the village because we just don't have a space for them. You know, there's an incredible number of, which is these are the ones that you probably don't see because, you know, they're not at main level, but a huge number of mental health professionals hanging up their shingles.
Mosaic. My wife's starting to, sorry. That's.
Oh, yeah.
Graduated from Dominican. She's looking at jobs. She's interviewing with Thrive, Mosaic.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Mosaic is one. I mean, Mosaic is a classic example of Carrie Carlock, the CEO of River Edge Hospital, a mental health hospital.
That's where she works now.
Was like done and over it, and she left that, and now she, you know, she opened up her own facility, and it has, I think, 5 or 6 clinicians in there, and it's busy.
Yeah.
Everywhere is busy. And yes, there's lots of restaurants and retail and the whole thing. There are still closures, but the interesting part about the closures that we're seeing is usually it doesn't have to do with we don't have any business. It usually has to do with predominantly I'm out, like I'm exhausted. I can't find the staff, and after 20 years, I'm bussing tables and I'm back in the kitchen. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. And so, you know, that's an interesting one. That's not one that we've really seen a lot of in the past. Well, the Irish shop, yeah.
Where am I
going to
get my, every year.
Yeah, they're,
and I mean, and what's interesting is that is a retirement one, but, you know, they're tired.
They're
tired. And, you know, there's more than a handful of businesses out there that are looking to sell, you know, so the chamber is looking at doing some professional development sessions literally on how do you sell your business or how do you profitably close your business, you know, because there's a need for that. And it's not because there's no business, it's because people are just tired, exhausted. So, it's an interesting time.
For sure.
Hmm.
What would you say would be the need? I mean, you mentioned therapy. I mean, it seems like there's always a need for medical offices, you know, that second floor, professional services.
Yep.
What would you see as the main need out there when we're looking at some of the developments and things of that nature? What should we be reaching out for? possible.
Again, loaded question.
I know. It's been a while since we talked, so I just trying to get the pulse of
anything to do with health and wellness these days. Health and wellness is huge. You know, the Chamber is hosting for the seventh year, our Health and Wellness Fair in April, and that is a free and open to the community. And pre-COVID, we had about 110 vendors all in one location, and about 800 people come through our fair.
Where is that?
This year, it's on April 23rd, and it is at FFC in downtown Oak Park.
Okay.
So, you know, last year we weren't nearly up to those numbers only because we couldn't because of COVID, but we're trying to get there. But, you know, pre-COVID, that health fair, people had said it was a little bit more on the wellness side than the health side. So there was a little bit more on the yoga and the, you know, acupuncture and, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, what we saw was our hospitals bringing doctors to the health fair. So, and this year they all intend to do the same thing. Physicians were present last year. They will be present this year. It's not just, oh, I can connect you to somebody, write your name here and someone will call you. There are physicians right there, people doing actual testing, blood draws, diabetes testing, heart health, the whole thing, vaccines, not just COVID, but all the rest of them. And in fact, the last couple of days, the Chamber has been hosting stakeholder meetings with our local communities, our governments, hospitals, schools, senior living facilities, because there's a lot of people out there in our surrounding communities who do not have access to good, affordable health care. And you can come to this event and get it for free. If Rush Oak Park takes blood draw for diabetes, they're going to be checking for a lot of other stuff. And when they follow up with you, that follow-up is free. And you're in their system, and they're likely to be helping you preventatively for free. So that's the word we're trying to get out there. We had the mayor, Mayor Katrina Thompson from Broadview. Thank you. We had people from Maywood, from Austin. At these meetings, because we just want this information to get out as far as we can. And we had representatives from Loretto Hospital, Rush, West Suburban, River Edge.
You know, would you mind sending me something? I'll give it to Michelle at Beyond Hunger, and we can maybe do something with some of the clients that we have there that are coming through there to get the word out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things that came out at these stakeholder meetings that was very interesting is, you know, what do we all consider public health nowadays? And, you know, even things like gun safety are considered a public health crisis. And so we're looking at, do we start to address those sorts of things at this health fair? And, of course, there will always be the crystals and the massage and the yoga. I mean, they just will. Exactly. We are in Oak Park after all. but, yes, so I guess what I was – to come back around to your question is we had incredible feedback and interest in our stakeholder meetings, and that is for – healthcare and like health services. And so the part that people don't see as our businesses are thriving is how many more health service businesses there are. So if you were to focus on that in the Village of River Forest and figuring out how to welcome those businesses here, I would say it's a good bet.
That's perfect. Yeah. That's good to know. That's kind of easy. Our offices can be used for a lot of different.
If they take second floor, I mean, they would.
Yeah.
But
good point.
In fact, this property out here that we did the RFQ on a while ago, remember, it was a medical use that kept coming back to us.
Yep.
So unfortunately, they come, but yeah. And we were trying to get retail on the ground floor, but that's where, you know, the mix of wellness, yoga, and everything is more retail-y, if you will. So that's a nice use combined with medical.
For sure.
But it's definitely on the rise. I target strategic spots.
So we're hoping to partner with the Village of River Forest to just help to get the message out about the fair, the health fair. And, you know, the two key demographics that we're targeting are families and young families. You know, there's a climbing wall that'll be open all day. You shove your kid on the climbing wall and you can go and, you know, look after yourself.
Wow.
The other thing is the senior population. You know, we all know that over COVID, a lot of stuff just did not, you know, a lot of medical needs were not taken care of. And isolation is a big thing. So we're working with both townships and both villages to have a, like a bus going circular between all of the senior living facilities in both villages, bringing people to the fair. We're looking at whether some seniors might like to actually volunteer at the fair as part of that, you know, wellness and, you know, battling isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to look at it from, you know, a multitude of different ways. So, yeah, anything that we can do to work together and partner together to get the message out, again, it's just all good, juicy stuff.
Absolutely.
Awesome. That's great. All right. Good to know. Number five, discussion of Madison. Nick, I think this should be your world. I like Kelly and Jake for internship. Anyway, she's just entering the field.
Like, so if you're looking for volunteers, is that something? The newsletter is guarded in some way, but are you guys connected? If you're looking for volunteers, the Village of River Forest could post it on their Instagram. And we have, like, the newsletter. That's something that could be. And then I'm assuming that or someone is a gatekeeper in terms of
right.
How many things we and from.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. In the past, when I have sent information through about, I think last year we have a speed networking event coming up in March and, you know, just anything to sort of let people know that they can come and be part of it. It has turned up in the newsletter. Yeah.
Okay. So you guys have like an open channel.
We do.
Yeah. Okay.
We do. It's just, I don't know. It was always just sent to Matt and then Matt made the magic happen. Right. So I need to know who the new Matt is because, you know, I don't know if there is one yet.
I think it's also Matt.
Is there, is there a new one?
But Luke Masella, our new deputy clerk, will also be involved in kind of collecting those entries from chamber and other organizations.
Wait, who is it?
His name's Luke Masella.
Luke?
Luke, yes. Email LMASELLA. At brf.us.
Sorry, logistics here. Do you want us to contact Luke about, you know, confirming our board meeting every month and that kind of stuff?
Yes, that would be great.
Yeah. You don't need to be doing that anymore.
All games, right?
For those who don't know, the Chamber has their monthly board meeting here in this room.
Oh.
Yes, and we're thankful for it, too.
Sorry, downloading this software. I do, yeah, but I can.
As everyone, I know it's been a few months since we met and last met with Nick and John and the Housie Levine team. The last few months, they've been working on some concepts and visualizations. Some of that outreach that we had talked about back in October hasn't happened yet. So we need to have some conversations with the residents. But Housie Levine has been working on these concepts, and we haven't met in a while, so we thought it was appropriate to at least kind of touch base, and we're moving in the right direction with what the commission expects.
Is there something that we can do to help with the community outreach? Or is it a reason it's not? I mean, there's been holidays, there's a lot going on. I get it. So I'm not at all critical. I'm just curious if there's a way we can help.
Maybe on the North Avenue side, Madison Street, there's a group that we are in contact and have met with. So I feel confident about setting that up. But North Avenue, if you have any folks that near that TIF district, it would be great to have their contact information for us to set up. Whether it's a focus group or just phone calls with Nick's any way to get
them. Yeah, not to speak for him, but I know John wants to participate in those discussions. I know originally him and Brian were going through identifying who needs to be talked to. He'd reached out to a couple of different developers. We've gotten feedback along the way, but I do think as we get closer to actually writing some of the recommendations, it would be nice to touch base with these groups. Okay, I'm gonna go through this first part pretty quickly because we've seen it now, I think, twice. But I just wanted to give you an overview of where we're at. Specifically, when we get to the steps, we haven't met in a while. I know it was just kind of coordinating some calendars. But now that we have, we pushed into the final step, but we're not done, and we need to get some clarification on step two. I'll talk about that when we get there. So just going over the planning process, I want to talk about the opportunity sites and the 3D models that we prepared, and then going over next steps. So the planning process, so we're looking at North Avenue and Madison Street. We identified the boundary based on the TIF boundaries, as well as just kind of going back and forth with staff for both North Avenue and Madison Street. The scope of work was broken up into three steps. So step one was the kickoff. Step two is initial massing, and step three is these opportunity sites and zoning recommendations. And we're somewhere in the middle of the two. So we've identified the opportunity sites. We talked about them last time we were here. And then we had a chance to talk with staff a couple of times over the last few months and work through some concept plans for what these areas could look like. So if you were to make some slight modifications to the zoning code, a property could develop this way as opposed to traditionally how they've been developing. And we did take this a little bit further, put them all into 3D so you can kind of see what they would look like. And then we started to highlight some of the changes that would need to happen to the zoning. These aren't necessarily our recommendations. It's more of a consideration for you as we go through this. So I want to make sure that that's clear. You know, certainly there's still time to pull these back or go further, depending on what the feedback is from. So for North Avenue, we'd originally identified three opportunity sites, all of them towards the east end of the study area. Using your existing code and then just some other, you know, kind of underlying regulations, we were starting to evaluate what you can currently do now and then started to play with that and see how much further we could take. Things like using the lot area changes or what your side yard setbacks might be, mainly looking at building height, FAR, the uses that would be appropriate, and parking. So I'll highlight this when we get towards the end of this because I think it'll be a little bit more helpful once you go through the overall visualization study. But the main takeaways are, what can we do with building height different than what you allow now? Do you need FAR? How do we handle parking regulations moving forward? And there's a couple other issues that we want to talk about, but those are the ones that stick out the most. So for the first opportunity site along North Avenue, we looked at the Montessori School. I think we all know this area pretty well. It's a pretty significant opportunity in terms of the overall bridge for the site. This is just a top-down, so it might be challenging for some to read, but this is what the preliminary site plan looked like. So you have a mixed-use building fronting very close to North Avenue, and then parking in the rear. There's some structured parking that's on the first floor, screened by a skin of commercial that's about 40 to 50 feet deep. What that looks like in 3D and then in context to the rest of the area itself, you can see we're looking at five stories. So you have an 18-foot ground floor, 11-foot floor plates for the upper. There's parking in the rear, and then there's connected parking, structured parking. That's that black, gray volume that's right there. So we're between William and Monroe. So any questions about when we start to look at this? I mean, this would change the height that you're allowing in this area if you want to go this route. So I think those are some of the questions that we have. So I'm not really sure what the best approach is. We could go through each one of these, and you could give us some comments, give me some feedback, or I could go through all of them, and then I can identify what we're recommending to work on over the next month. My ultimate goal is, now that we've done these visualizations, and these are volumetric, they're very basic, there's no character, we dropped all the vegetation because I want to make sure that we're looking at the buildings. Our next step when we come back is to prepare a more detailed zoning amendment memo that would outline specifically what we would do. So if this is the direction you want to go, if we are comfortable with five stories on North Avenue, there's a couple of tweaks that would need to happen. Building height that's permitted would be one. And then also a little bit more flexibility in the parking. Right now you're requiring roughly two spaces per unit. That would want to come down to like 1.25 to 1.5. That's going to be true for a couple of these that we go through. I guess, are there questions about this? Do you want me to kind of work through some of the other ones?
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. It would be sufficient if you do the reduction for parking. Correct. Yep. So there's kind of a, and that's why we got to back into the best way that we know to do this is to do these volumetric studies to look at what it could be in kind of an ideal setting. And then we know that our objective here is to provide recommendations for zoning amendments. So these don't adhere to your current zoning code. That's a good point.
What is, for someone who's not necessarily too versed on it, I feel like we're a little bit conservative on some of the FAR and the parking requirements. What's normal across the street? What is it in Oak Park? You know, I mean.
Yeah. So right now, and this is something John and I were just talking about as we were kind of wrapping up this exercise. You look at the building that's south of the study area that we're going to talk about on Madison Street, and has 36 units. Did the same study, same area on similar property in River Forest would only accommodate like 5 to 7 units. So it's just that's just the rules that you applied on yourself.
Right.
Parking is probably one of the biggest challenges, and then height. So you're not allowing buildings to go that extra floor. So if on Madison Street we want to get it up to 5 stories, you need to have a little bit more flexibility in the building height, even to the point where if someone's coming through and they have 2-3 feet that they need for HVAC systems or utilities, as long as they're screened and stepped back, I think having a bit more flexibility in the code would go a long way to make that an easier process. And we're talking about 3 feet pretty far away in terms of your field of view, so it's not as much of an impact. That's one. Reducing the parking standards, specifically on Madison Street, I think is something. I would take it down to 1. We internally in the office come at like 1.25 to 1.5 parking spaces, and then with a little bit of flexibility on Madison because you have more availability for on-street parking. Commercial uses should be using the on-street parking. The residential component should be on-site parking. Off-site for commercial, on-site for...
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but
you know, you make a good point. I think this would be helpful. I'll still show all of these, but let me just show you what ends up being our takeaway.
Yeah. And just how do these, if you could, while you're going through it, could you just, if you have an understanding of how these compare with the neighboring communities and what the standard
is. Like, I didn't break down Oak Park code. I haven't broken, but I could. I mean, maybe that's what we should do as part of this next step. Just so you know what your neighbors are doing.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like we'd want to be somewhat in play with the people. If someone's planning on coming to here, Oak Park, we'd want to make sure that we are offering the similar.
Oak Park's probably the more extreme version, just because of the amount of height they're allowing in certain districts. But I do think there's some kind of,
parking.
There's some comparisons here that we should
even
look at.
Even corridor comparisons, things at North Avenue.
Right.
What's the
Elmwood Park doing?
You know, I always believe that corridor is two sides. It's multiple communities. It's not just one. And we tend to view only ours.
Yep.
And they only view theirs. And I mean, I think.
That's
and I'm
a great
sure
point.
They're doing more.
Yeah, I mean, we could probably figure out what Forest Park is doing in Elmwood Park. That'd probably help us a lot to them. They've done pretty well on both sides.
Yeah. And out of curiosity, again, I apologize because I think I missed the one when you picked the sites and I was bummed. It didn't show up.
You would have come to the same conclusions.
I'm sure I would have. The improvements, the zoning changes you're talking about are for the corridor. It's not spot zoning, right?
Correct.
It's not like
Yeah, and that's a really important distinction, too, especially when we go to the public. And, none of these development opportunities necessarily have to happen or may even happen in this way. What we're really doing is I guess we call them redevelopment sites. They're really more like case study sites.
Right.
So if this site or anyone that's like it in terms of its parameters, it's a lot of depth, it's a lot of width, its current use, any one of these wants to redevelop, what regulations do you want in place and what do you want them to be able to do? So that's a great point. That's basically what we're talking about all through Madison Street and all through North Avenue is if someone comes to the table and wants to redevelop, let's make sure that we give them some of the flexibility we think they need to build what we ultimately want to see. When you look across the street on Madison, there's a 5-6-story building. So you have height around you and you're just not a the zoning considerations, this is basically what we're backing into. So these are the four kind of talking points that I wanted to go over today. The parking requirements on North Avenue and Madison Street, you're currently at 2 parking spaces per unit. There's some variation to that, but for the most part, it's 2 parking spaces per unit. And we're proposing 1.25 to 1.5 parking spaces per unit. Again, that significantly reduces the burden to park it, and it's putting more space for density, more residential or commercial uses. Building height, so specifically along North Avenue, you currently allow 50 feet. We're proposing that you take that to 65 for a couple of reasons. It allows for a 5-story building with that contemporary ground floor tenant space. So that's something that we heard quite a bit, not just here too, but across the country we're hearing is there's some spaces that only allow 10 feet, 12 feet on the ground floor, and that's just not what tenants are looking for right now. So on North Avenue, we're looking at least an 18-foot ground floor. Then that would be an 11-foot second floor, third floor, fourth floor, and fifth floor. There's some plate variations in there, but we're trying to just cover our bases. 65 gets you to a good 5-story building in terms of what you're trying to accomplish, and I think it matches up with what you're seeing with some of your neighbors. And then on Madison Street, you currently allow 35 feet. We're proposing that you take that number to 50 feet. That would allow a 4-story building. The only difference between what we're talking about on North Avenue and what we're talking about on Madison is, one, we're only talking about 4 stories on Madison. Two is we're anticipating a 15-foot ground floor. That lines up with more of the buildings that you're seeing in that area. 18 feet might be too big. Not that someone couldn't do it, but it might be a trade-off for the fourth floor. So that's really up to them in terms of the development. So those are the heights. And then just some general discussion points, and I'm not expecting you to answer today, but I was thinking maybe this is something over the next week or two you all could think about. Maybe get us some responses are, consider eliminating the FAR requirement based on what we're already trying to do with some of the bulk standards and development standards. You wouldn't really need FAR to guide this decision process anymore, specifically in this area. It's currently 2.75, which doesn't really pencil out to the type of development we're trying to do here anyways. We're also considering increasing the allowed density. So right now you have 2,800 square feet of lot area per unit. That's our own calculator that we put together. That pencils out to a 17.4 dwelling units per acre on a site. That's not very high. I know that sounds high, but you're looking at some of these sites that are right across the street and they're closer to 34 or 40. So again, I think if you're trying to line up with what you're seeing in the region, that might be something you want to consider. And that's something we can look at Forest Park, Elmwood. We'll look at Oak Park. We can look at a couple of the communities and see what those numbers actually are. But I would encourage moving away from FAR.
That is common. That is a move now. A lot of municipalities are doing a lot of PUDs that I worked on. They're getting rid of the whole FAR requirement because there's other ways to control it.
Right, and we would. And it's basically, there are places where FAR are appropriate. I would not say it's here.
Chicago still got it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. We know specifically this is what we're working out. But once you know specifically what you want, we're just going to say what you want. And that's what makes that a lot more clear. FAR is more about flexibility and density bonuses and things that you're really not trying to do here. You should just be more explicit about what your expectations are. So that's what we would work on. The other consideration was just consider reducing the average unit size so that average gross living area for all units constructed is not less than 1,800 square feet. That's a large unit. It's not to say that unit wouldn't be built, but there are smaller units that are being considered now and I think would be advantageous on Madison Street specifically. And then consider removing that bedroom requirement. Every unit shall have at least one bedroom, no studios. Also something that we're seeing a lot more flexibility from communities. So those are the four that stuck out. This is kind of from our internal team. Haven't done a deep dive into all of the different aspects of the zoning code that we would want to amend. I think we wanted to get kind of your pulse first. Are we moving in the right direction? Do we want to see four stories on Madison? And do we want to see five stories on North Avenue? And are mixed-use buildings appropriate? Should they be all residential? That was what we were trying to explore. So I'll go back to some of these graphics, but at least you can kind of see what our initial takeaways are and why we're kind of where we're at.
How high? The Sheridan is the most recent development.
In a way.
I
do not know. High first floor.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's that 18. No, I think where you might get pushback are those last two bullet points with the 1,800 square feet and the no studios, just knowing River Forest, quite frankly. I mean, that's probably one where I wonder if there's some compromise there. I mean, I like it, but I just know that there'll be relative pushback in the community that they'll want larger units. Maybe not, but that's one where I'd assume. The other two seem like no-brainers to me personally.
Okay.
And I'm okay with that. I just think that there's going to be some – probably need to have more understanding of the area and you know, maybe similar – you know, Oak Park would probably be a good comparable there too, though they probably are – obviously, there's studio apartments in Oak Park, but –
Tyler, can I mention that in Oak Park, there's been one development in South Oak Park that has got live-work units. I don't know if that's something that's ever been discussed here or considered, you know, so there's the storefront and then there's the door at the back and that's where, like, that's the person's apartment. That's where they live. And then the store is there. So
I wonder, probably don't allow for that under the current zoning.
No, you're right. I mean, that would be something I would explore. There's no reason that... Again, some of this goes back to a lot of codes just don't allow people to do what new uses are sort of getting or coming up. And part of that is just removing that barrier. But again, we'd want to know if that is a barrier you want us to remove. We can assess that. I know Jackie and John, like John will probably be able to rattle off, you know, what Oak Park does, what Forest Park's doing, what's happening in Elmwood. But I think documenting it and putting it into a matrix would be really helpful just for you to see. It doesn't mean you got to do it, but at least you can understand, okay,
you know, what we're,
you know, this is where we're flexible, that kind of thing.
I guess I just think, from a business point of view, if you want to attract, I don't know, you know, small, independent, indie-style businesses, coffee shops and cutesy tchotchke shops, that's one way to do it because you have young entrepreneurs that can't afford huge square footage, but then they also want to be living close to where they work. It was an experiment in Oak Park, and from what I know, it was really successful. This is on South Oak Park Avenue, right near the Eisenhower. There's a new building that was put in there.
Right,
gas station.
Yeah, where that that vacant lot was.
Correct.
It was owned by the bank forever.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, across the street from Kettle Strings.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're great little shops in there, and they got scooped up really, really quickly. And there has been no turnover in the stores since they have opened there. So there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
So there's this tall building, a newly constructed building next to Dunkin' Donuts in Forest Park. What are the do you know the parameters for that building?
Yeah, so that's one of the ones we were looking at in terms of just benchmarking its height. That would be one I think I'd want to do an assessment to if it is. I don't know if you want to go that tall. And that's one of the concepts that we're going to show here pretty soon on Madison Street is, you know, taking more advantage of the overall site that we could, pushing some of the parking back, repurposing some of the alley and the lot to the north. So we'll talk about that when we get there, because I think that's a really good example of are we on the right track or not. So.
And now this thing that I'm seeing on the screen, so is that an existing, I don't recall what that exactly is, but what is there right now?
So right now that's the Montessori site.
Oh, okay. The single story Montessori site.
Yep. Well, it's got a little bit of height in the back, but yeah, to your point, on the street, it steps down to a one story building along North Avenue. But so this would be, this would be a complete redevelopment of this site, parking in the rear. So on the south side, building would be fronted along North Avenue, and you would be accommodating a five-story building. When you look across the street, I mean, there's some pretty substantial height on the other side of North Avenue. Here, there's a little bit even further up against these other two sites we're going to talk about, a little bit further east. So this is the two opportunity sites that are further to the east along North Avenue, so N2 and N3. I'll show you what those look like. So that's where the Cassidy Auto, there's a restaurant there. It's adjacent to the Shell station. Shell station's not going anywhere. We weren't moving that. But just what could you do with this site? It is a very challenging site. And then even further to the west, you know, you have that strip mall with a couple different users, a few different property owners. Again, not necessarily saying this has to redevelop, but if it were ever to redevelop in the future, how could it be maybe kind of reimagined? And what does zoning need to do to make sure that happens? So we're looking at this site here where the Cassidy Auto is and this restaurant, and all the way down, taking in this strip mall office and different services. So we're looking at two opportunity sites here, two redevelopment strategies. I think 3D is a little bit more helpful. Now we could do some different stuff with that commercial site that's more sort of to the west. Let's start here on the east side first. So this is where the Cassidy Auto, you know, currently is. You could fit a 3-4-story building there, commercial services on the ground floor, residential above. I think this is where we'd have to be a bit creative with how we're carving up the upper floor in terms of how many units would be available, more so because there's just a lot of parking challenges. It's already a very shallow site. The right-of-way and the easements taken by North Avenue that come through already cut through some of this site. So a challenging site for sure. If it is to redevelop, there are some opportunities about how that would happen. But you could accommodate a 3-4-story building in that site. And then a little to the west, it's taking all of that strip mall and all those different units. And if someone was able to consolidate this parcel, and they would have to do that, you'd have to consolidate all these parcels, take that entire block frontage. There'd be an opportunity there to redo the parking, position it behind the buildings, have the commercial and the service uses right up closer to North Avenue. And there'd be one curb cut in as opposed to several curb cuts that are coming in on that strip mall now into a parking lot that is fairly difficult to navigate, I would imagine, if there were more than 5 cars in it. So just a different strategy, but still some challenges with that site too in terms of how shallow it is. You can see you can't get a full 60-foot parking bay. It just won't work, not if you want to have a building of substantial depth enough. So those are already 50-foot, that building, the commercial buildings here. Are 50-foot deep. So typically we're looking at 60 to 80, but I think with the site configuration, this is doable. It would just be a different kind of user. So any questions there? But you can see right across the street.
Idea is that it would be mixed use on the left and fully commercial on the right.
On the right, yeah. Commercial, service, could be office. Again, that's mainly just if that office space, for whatever reason, comes up for a redevelopment opportunity, you basically want to see that building orientation flipped, and you want to see the building closer to the road, and you want to see the parking to the rear, and you want to minimize the amount of access points that are going into that property. They should be utilizing the alley more. So just some different considerations there.
So there was in the corridor study and the plan that you all did too, there the alley sharing concept, or is it a
does that get you
a 60, or is there a way to finagle? Elmwood does it, right?
Yeah, you could do that. Part of what we did, and we did it on Madison Street, is you pick up the two parcels. If you were able to take, and that's not the situation here, so I want to make sure that we're clear. If these two parcels were available, you could definitely use the alley as basically the drive lane through and park to the north. We did show that on the next one here coming up, what that configuration looks like. And it's a very creative strategy. I think it's helpful. It uses the space well. In terms from the street, you don't really see it. It looks like a parking lot, but it is a good solution. I don't know, unless you want to take those two residential buildings offline, that's really a viable solution here.
It's not necessarily for this discussion here, but I could almost guarantee that one Cassidy Tire building is probably dirty with the Shell being right there and there being a station there. And it's not for the purpose of this, but just gotta be, right?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I assume in this region, it's probably dirty.
Everything safe to everything.
But certainly with like auto service and its proximity to the Shell station.
Yeah, there's a UST that hasn't been, probably have to dig it up, but just because we're considering residential there.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
No, that's a good point. And that's going to factor into the cost. And it's also going to drive why, you know, a 2-3-story building is probably not going to pencil out. A 4-5-story building could. And that's where the height discussion here along North Avenue is critical. If you're going for increasing density, again, the parking flexibility is important. There's like a real balance between all these different things so that it could even pencil out. There's also a height where it'd be too big. So I don't think we're looking at like what's happening on the north side of North Avenue. That's not really appropriate here. But I think 4 or 5 stories is reasonable. Parking is the challenge. All right, let me jump down to Madison Street. So we looked at two different opportunity sites, very similar regulations to what we just talked about with the C1 district for North Avenue, the C2 district for Madison. The main things that stick out here that are different than what we just talked about are the building heights can go up to 30 feet. That's something where we moved past that pretty quickly when we started doing these concepts. So as we go through them, I'll be sure to kind of point out. But that's the one that stuck out. And then also the floor area ratio is not really consistent with the concept that we went with. And then same thing with parking. And this next one I think is really helpful to see the parking. So we're just looking at the strip mall that's right there off of Franklin. This is another site that we talked about as a group. And again, very similar to the discussion we just had for North Avenue, where we're taking the commercial, the single-story inline commercial strip mall development that's pushed back with parking in the front and kind of flipping that orientation and instead showing a 4-story mixed use building. So commercial on the ground floor, 3 floors of residential above with surface parking to the rear. The access point would be off the alley. So we're trying to minimize the amount of access points, trying to maintain that street wall, starting to really set into what you're going to see further down the way. A bit more east on that street wall, that more consistent traditional built out. In terms of the flexibility, if you're at 1,800 square feet, and these are gross numbers, but if you're at 1,800 square feet for residential units, you can get about, I think we figured 15 units in here. If you took that down to like 1,500, you're probably closer to getting 18 to 20 units. It kind of depends on how the makeup of the internals are. and then that's parked in the back. The residential is parked on the surface lot, and portions of it were set aside for commercial, but the concept would be that most of this commercial is going to be parked by on-street. So there's some challenges with on-street parking, so I think setting aside some dedicated spots in the back is reasonable. And then this site is deep enough where you could put one bank of parking in the back of this building, so the ground floor on the back side of this building could be one bank. I don't think you need it, but it is something that you could explore or a developer could explore. I think the size of this works out to the point where that's not as necessary. Any questions about the site? I mean, are we moving in the right direction in terms of if this is what you like, then we're going to come back to this group in March and prepare a more specific, these are the zoning amendments that would need to occur. And I think it makes this discussion like they might look good. And then when you see the code change, you might decide that's not the direction you wanted to go. Okay.
There it is. We've been grappling with this for a while. And so the whole point of this is to try to set it appropriate. I'm not offended by any of that.
Okay.
I actually think the density is right. Not that every building is going to be like that. But and I also appreciate guideline, if you will, that we push things out to the street. I think that's urban character of this.
Yep.
Those strip malls and everything, I think, are detrimental to vitality of the street. So I think all these things, that's sidebar. But I mean, I think those are part of it. I think all that has to be written into this. So.
Oh, good. I think this is moving in a direction that's more consistent with what you're seeing with modern development trends, too. So I know that was the feedback we were receiving from some of the developers. The next site's probably the one that was the most talked about when we went through it. So this is the site. Village owns some of this property. You know, it'd be great if you had the entire block. So I know there's still the current property owner right down here at the end, and then the one building that we did not include in this study. But I would say what we're showing here could easily translate. So if in the future that site does become available, the guidelines that you're putting into place and ultimately the zoning code you're putting into place would match up. And I think it would just be a different development, but it would sit right next to it. So this one, of all the ones that we've talked about, that box looks very big. So I can appreciate that. But if you look in the foreground, the building that we're looking at is also a pretty substantial building. And a lot of the feedback that we received when we're talking with developers is like the current code wouldn't allow anything like this. Obviously outside of River Forest, but nothing like this could occur on Madison Street right now, not with the current code. So we're trying to get to something more like this. Again, that's a box. We would break this building up. It'd have a little bit more character and design. But for the sake of this discussion, you know, you'd be able to substantially increase the overall density on the site if you could do a couple things. You need to change the height of the building, and you need to be flexible with the parking. I can see on this one it's not as easy to see, so I'm going to switch to this model if it'll let me. Yeah.
It's the residential, right? Like the condos? Is that what that build?
I don't know if it's condos. I think they're
apartments.
It's
right next to the
Dunkin'.
It's just to the east of the Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, the Dunkin' Donuts,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, the Dunkin' Donuts would be right here. But
right, okay.
I think it's also important to note that context there, by the way, across the street is one story, and it's not, I would say it's not great one story buildings, you know, so while it looks big, it's just that context I think is old. I think that's likely to change over time as well.
You like Starfish and like Happy Feet?
Yeah. I mean,
Happy Feet.
I know. No, I'm not saying they're good, bad uses.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
and Starship people. Starship.
Yeah.
But you go further down and you've got 2-3 stories.
For sure.
You know, so you're again, contextually, it's a little bit off here. Again, I think things are moving that way.
No, yeah.
So
absolutely.
I think and there's a couple of the buildings that we put in here.
That wasn't, I don't know who the ownership is. I don't mean to interrupt, Nick, but I'd be
okay.
Surprised if that wasn't brought together and.
So based on what we currently own there, or when we say we, the village owns there, what can we put if we don't get the other additional buildings to sign up for this?
That's what the model
is shown with only village.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Thanks. Okay.
Yeah, but to your point, I sort of cheated in the model, right? Because there's the rest of the block that's down here, and I'll put that in here for that's a good point. I'll put that in here for context, so you can see all the way to the corner. But yeah, this is just we're just managing development opportunities on the village-owned property, and so this is a concept one that we've shown to a couple of different developers. Same thing where you have, and this goes to your point where we're repurposing. We took the two properties that are to the north of the alley and folded those into the parking strategy. So you're using the alley as the drive lane. You can park both to the north and the south of the alley. We also show closing off Ashland. So make this a roundabout or basically a turnaround. And then you have parking that could occur all through here. Along Ashland. So this could be serving the commercial uses, both in this new building, but also along the rest of the corridor. And then you could have parking in the rear. And then there'd be a little bit of parking on the ground floor. So for the residential uses above, it'd be nice to have contained, self-contained parking, elevator up, whatever that use ends up being.
Okay. I have a question. This is Susan Altier. In this drawing, you're showing my property as grass, not my house on it. Should I be concerned? I'm to the right of the.
No, Susan. That I'll.
No, not there. Other side.
No, it's the green lot to the.
Yeah, that's my house.
No, that's just that's a mistake. No, you should not be concerned. Well, concerned in that it was a mistake. I will rectify that. You're talking right here.
Yeah.
Correct.
Nope, just a mistake. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Well, I think this is one where we need to, I mean, I think size, I think, looks fine. I think this is one where the space next to it, we just really need to talk with the people in the area, you know, what size and best use. I mean, I know we want to get parking in there. I know all those things that developers are going to want, but we really need to make sure that we're tempering that with, like, what looks good, what best serves the community, not just the developers. You know, yeah, more parking is great, but can we make it work with, there you go, look at on the spot editing. It's impressive. You know, but can we make it work with, I just think we really need to listen to the community on this and make sure that we're providing, again, not just what the developers want, you know, not just what's going to make them money, but what's going to beautify the area, be a nice place for, you know, the new people coming in and the people that are existing, like, living there, whatever. Because I think that's going to be, you know, do they want there to be a turnaround there? You know, do they want more park area in the area? You know what I mean? Yeah. Some of those things. That's one where I think.
So if I recall, and I'm this is more anecdotal, it's just coming off of what I remember having in discussions. Thank you. When we kicked this off, I believe in the past when they did the Madison Street corridor plan, that was something the property owners along Ashland were interested in if redevelopment was going to occur the way that we were anticipating it occurring. As the current traffic stands, maybe not as much of an issue, but if you're talking about this type of user coming in or this scale of building, and closing off Ashland has a benefit for a couple of different reasons. One of them would be just buffering the residents on that street. But you're right. That would be a group of people I think we need to make sure we're talking to when we go through this process. So we're recommending and make sure that we're all on the same page that that's even a direction you want to go. We also looked at a different configuration for this site. If you wanted to step down and have a smaller commercial building that holds the corner, this is in line with a proposal that's already out there. So it was just kind of, what would this look like if that did occur? How would that space be utilized? And I think this serves as kind of a good, this is what would happen if, you know, you have the current development that we're, or you have this larger mixed-use building here that we're showing. If down the line, the two properties to the east on and are available for redevelopment, they would be probably a building that looks very much like this in terms of scale, and the parking configuration would be identical. That would just be transferred to the east. So I think it's a very scalable approach. I think that, yeah. this is one that merits. And I like to step down to the commercial use. I mean, I'd love to maximize that space. I think that's the best approach from a developer's perspective. But in terms of breaking this up, that's also a different.
Well, I think for your purpose, for the purpose of what you're doing to get together the zoning change, to recommend zoning changes, it works great. I think the next step will be when the developments come in to make sure that we're making sure everyone's happy and that things are going to go through, you know. But from a zoning perspective, I think it makes sense and looks great. I think we are going to see redevelopment across the street.
You're talking about all this here?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's going to eventually be redeveloped. And regardless, there's something comparable across the street that's going to be even higher. So it's not like we're going going higher than the guys across the street. I mean, it's still conservative.
I would think that Dunkin' Donuts is a opportunity site on the south side of Madison.
Yeah.
I would think that's something that we're looking at. Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like anything was too far. Maybe we didn't push far enough. I don't know. There were somewhere I think we had a little bit more height on North Avenue, and we backed that off just with context to some of the residential areas.
Well, we have to make sure it's a balancing act, like you said. We got to make sure that it actually works. I mean, it's great that we could sit here in a bubble and say, yeah, we want it. Well, but if no one's going to develop there.
Right.
And what's the point of it? And that's why we're trying to change these zonings. At the same time, you know, I don't think it looks weird. That's one person's opinion, obviously, but I think it fits with the area and what we're trying to do.
I can't speak to, I mean, obviously all developers, but I know the ones that we've talked to are very interested in what could happen on Madison Street. If the zoning changes are made and you're accommodating a little bit more height and you're flexible with parking, I very much think you're going to see more proposals and more interest along this corridor in a way that I think you want. I think there's some unique opportunities on Madison Street tapping into what's happening in Forest Park. I mean, it's just a nice corridor, and it's in position for redevelopment. So.
Based on these
based on
chains.
These types of concepts, yes. So, and I think it's just more procedural stuff and some development and design standard changes. It's pretty straightforward. So I think that's why we just wanted to make sure if this is the direction we want to go. And then the same thing when we start having these conversations with the public again, feel like there's an opportunity to show this differently. We can show options, but this felt like the baseline, the most appropriate level of change. Again, you could go taller on North Avenue. I don't know that you need to. And I think you're going to run into some real challenges in parking it.
Well, and, you know, the advantage for being a little bit more aggressive on the zoning is that it would allow us to have more, and I think with this is what I'd call more aggressive, you know, not that it's terribly aggressive, but this would allow more, if there's more developers that are willing to develop on that site, it would give us more to choose from in terms of what they're willing to do to beautify the site, to make sure that, you know, if we make it super conservative and we only get a couple different people that want to develop, they're not going to, they're going to be pigeonholed already into what they're able to do.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I think we need to make sure that we have options with developers so that we can choose one that is planning a project that will fit with the neighborhood and what we want to do and what the neighbors want to do.
Yeah, the big thing, too, is the village opening up these parcels to the north of that alley is fairly substantial. I mean, that's how this all parks. So if you don't have those lots to the north, it becomes very difficult to get this larger residential configuration, that mixed-use configuration in place. And then the one thing that we do that's slightly different than what's happening over here is this commercial depth we're encouraging be somewhere between 40 to 50 feet. Some of these commercial depths are starting to get really shallow, and they're just not great spaces. They're harder to lease. It's not what most people are looking for. You can find tenants for it, but I think you're trying to set the stage for a broader audience. So that's a big part of what we're trying to do with the regulations is make sure that you're not, what you just said, you don't want to pigeonhole yourselves into kind of an awkward commercial space. So we're trying to leave as much space for that as we can.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the purpose of what we're doing here, I don't, you know, I don't hear anybody on this committee that has issues with.
Okay.
I'll just say the parking, not knowing a ton, surprised me. And I think probably as we go along, it might surprise us. Smaller square footage. people living in a building likely needing, especially without overnight parking.
Yeah.
Being cognizant.
Yeah, that was something that came up when we were chatting with property owners in the area, where there's already, there can be challenges with being able to park at certain times of the day. Not always because of users on your side of the street either. I mean, you're dealing with what's happening across the street.
Yeah.
So there might be some recommendations about how enforcement might need to be a bit different in this area. That was another reason why I think closing off around or turnaround on Ashland would be helpful. It'll keep through traffic out of there. But again, that would be something, if the residents are all for it, it makes sense. If they're not for it, then I wouldn't push it. But it was in that previous plan, and I thought it was well received. But yeah, this is
that
the main thing. So I'll pass this back to, I'll send you this whole presentation.
Great.
But the this is the section where if anything sticks out to you, let us know. I think this is the thread that we're going to pull on, is parking requirements, building height, and then just some general discussion. I took some notes. We'll do some area assessments. What are some of your neighbors, your competitors doing, and how do you position against them and make sure that you're offering something that's similar but still is in line with what your expectations need to be? So we can work through that. I think that's pretty straightforward between now and next time we meet in March 1st. I'm assuming that we would meet on March 1st.
Correct.
At this point, the 3D study would be over, and we're really coming to have a discussion about zoning. So I'll be here, but I know I'll have Jackie or John with me as well. They do all the zoning work.
I think that's great.
I guess the only question I have a comment would be, and I think the zoning, I think it's right on. The issue is, if you imagine that all the way across, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, if everybody did it, and it's not ever going to happen that way.
Yeah.
But that gets into guidelines and other things like that.
Correct.
Your notion of stepping down, doing commercial on the corner, those types of things kind of get more to guidelines of, I mean, it's zoning, they could do it. But if you, and so the question is, are there things, not to add more to this.
Mm-hmm. No, it's fair.
But, certain areas where, height is okay, you can max it out, or we want to respect some of these streets. And again, I don't know whether the scope of this work goes into that level. Because that can be another, and you can't really legislate good design. You just can't do it in
sure
zoning.
Can't.
But no, I mean, usually they're more a hindrance and a problem. But you can make known, certain urban moves and things like that that I think warrant, whether it's called out, even the notion of four stories, maybe you allow a setback, a little, that changed the character of that street wall. But I think it's all on target. It's just, as you said, sort of the sculpting of this, maybe it's guidelines and other things that maybe get paired with this.
Totally.
That then take into consideration context.
Yeah, because I think all...
That goes to the neighbors behind. All that goes to, like, landscaping, buffering.
Right.
I think it's...
I mean, essentially all of Madison at some point, outside of the rec center, I mean, I could see... But Earth, eventially be a redevelopment site,
it already was.
Yeah, right.
In my time.
That's a really good point. I mean, would we want all of Madison to be three-story mixed use?
Or four-story. Yeah.
Right.
Again, I don't think it's ever going to happen that way. You've got historic.
But if you're putting things on paper, it could.
You could. What you are saying is someone could. By right, someone could do this.
Yeah.
It's the maximum envelope.
Yeah. The likelihood of it all turning over. I mean, there will be market factors that'll play in. It's only so much commercial this corridor would be able to handle. Although you keep bringing in residential users and you might be able to accommodate more. But I would say you'll cross a threshold. Even if these three or four sites here were to redevelop, that might be what we see in the next 50 years.
That's optimistic.
So,
but it's when you're putting things pen to paper, I don't know zoning that well. But if there's guidelines we can add into the zoning, I think it's a fair point.
Right. We can explore options, especially inside your PUD. Are there flexibilities that if someone does this, they get that extra bonus that they want, but you also get the things that you want. You want those pedestrian amenities, or you want parking screen, whatever it might be. That is something I'll do in the next round with this too, is this was very diagrammatic. We can make it a slightly more illustrative graphic where you'll see, I think it's important to show like the buffers between residential users, so what the landscape screening might look like. We can punch up a little bit. And then these buildings won't be these big masses.
Yeah,
I don't want to show character in the building because I don't know if it's going to be traditional or modern. That's really going to be
I think this is really useful. And it's a good tool that says this is the size that'll work. This is what fits. Here's the parking requirement. And you think the other flip side is that it will pencil out. A developer can make it work. And I know there's always the big bad developers making all this money. They aren't. They're taking a lot of risk. They may make some money later. But, you know, we're not attracting people because they're not viable right now. And
right.
So this is
right.
a move towards that. And I think it fits. So there's a balance, always a balance, right?
I do know some big bad developers.
There are some big bad developers. Don't get me wrong.
No, but right. I mean, we have to make it. It's got to make sense. The math's got to work, right? I mean, so.
And this goes a long way. And this is what that shows, right?
Yeah.
This is a viable development
part.
That it's
going to
get you X amount of units, and you would find somebody interested. I mean, you know.
And it fits. Yeah. You know, I guess the market and the village will determine if it fits, but it seems to.
Well, and one of the things that I always think are very helpful to come out of this kind of study are we've now shown 5 different redevelopment opportunities, North Avenue and Madison. Developers or investors, they see this. Architects, they're creative. They'll figure out how to take what you're trying to do and fit it in these programs. So that's really what we're doing is we're giving the guardrails, we're giving the box. Inside the box, be
great.
Creative, but just be inside this box. Yeah, I think this site is probably the most exciting site.
Yeah.
Village owns
it.
Feels very realistic to redevelop.
Yeah, I could see this happening very soon.
Yeah.
Like shortly after you finish what you're doing in talking with developers, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and then I would just think over time this whole corridor, like the Dunkin' Donuts on the south side of Madison makes a lot of sense. I would think this happens. So now you've had south side, north side investment. I think frogging to the
Pete sees the development go on there, and he sees an opportunity to make a good. I know he likes his space, but he might move too. I think this would be a good start. Great.
All right, good. Well, thank you. Sorry it took so long for us all to connect, but I'm glad we were able to get this a little further along. Next time we meet, so when we meet in March, this will be, we're basically wrapping up, giving you our final thoughts. We'll give you the zoning recommendations that we're considering. We'll take it through the process from there. So any questions, I'll send you the PowerPoint, and then we'll disseminate. And if anybody has any questions, please feel free to reach out. And
Liz left. She's usually number 6. We should probably combine 6 and 4. Just going back to 4, I think if we need to do anything with that extension for the new positions, how many? Yeah. You're probably
a drop in the bucket, is what you said. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Mr. Yu is already. Master Yu is the butt next Friday. Development updates, Lake and Lathrop. They're developing over there.
Slowly but surely.
Look, they're spending money. I think it's headed in the right direction. We're doing what we can. They're doing what they can. Would like it to be moving faster. Everyone would, I'm sure. That's great. At least it's happening. PNC, we just went over. Other business? Anyone? Okay. Executive session, nothing to talk about there. Move to adjourn.